Michael Murray at the organ playing some Johann Sebastian Bach here at WUSB, Stony Brook. This has been Valerie Jean, and Dave Brown and Jim Wiener will be in for the next 2 weeks here at Long Island's first station of the 90s for the Saturday evening classical show. And stay tuned now for Stardate, followed by Eric Corley with Brain Damage, right after this.
Stardate May 18th. If you look outside Saturday evening, you'll see the moon near a bright object in the western sky. This object is Jupiter, our solar system's largest planet. Another even brighter object can be seen below Jupiter and the moon if you're looking not very long after the sun goes down. This is another planet, Venus. A third planet, Mars, lies between Jupiter and Venus on the sky's dome. But unlike them, it isn't bright. Instead, Mars is very faint. Keep an eye on these three planets in the coming weeks. They'll be edging closer together. By mid-June, they'll be very close, noticeable to anyone who happens to glance at the western twilight sky. In June, you'll be able to turn your binoculars on Jupiter, Mars, and Venus and see them fit in a single field of view. But don't wait until June to turn your binoculars on Jupiter. Do it in the coming days and weeks instead. This planet is now situated in front of a famous cluster of stars called Praesepe, or the Beehive. Jupiter's moving through the southern edge of the Beehive this evening. Just look for Jupiter, the bright object near the waxing crescent moon, in tonight's sky. The star cluster is up there, too, located far beyond Jupiter, hundreds of light years away. Tonight the moon's glare makes the star cluster hard to see, so you'll want to identify Jupiter tonight near the moon. Then, when the moon has moved away, turn your binoculars on the planet for a glimpse of a crowd of stars, the Beehive star cluster. This is Stardate. Our program is written and produced by Deborah Bird. Stardate is a production of the McDonald Observatory at the University of Texas at Austin. And for the McDonald Observatory, I'm Joel Block.
Return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
No.
Your call did not go through. Please try your call again. 9141T. Did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
5, 4, 3, 3, 3, 4, 4, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Did you say 9?
Just hold on a second.
Recording already in progress.
Or phone card number. Please check the number and try again. Or call customer service for assistance. 41-704.
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
Good evening, Vice President Nixon.
Good evening, Mr. Howe.
Welches sind die Regenbogenfarben?
You will be disconnected.
Mein Bruder ist jünger als ich.
To know.
22:10, 13, May 18. 22:10.
See, he's saying the time.
May 18.
But he's saying it in military time because it's a military device, I guess.
May 18. 22:10, 29.
See, it's 22:10 and 29 seconds, which is 10:10 and 29 seconds.
35, May 18.
That's one of our listeners that we've
22:10.
Discovered their phone number for and
18.
Very handy thing to have around. 10,
45, May 18.
Kind of annoying, though. Well, it's 10, 15, another Saturday night, and Brain Damage 18. Is back. Yes, Brain Damage is here again.
10, 15,
and we
May
are
18.
All set to dive into...
11,
all right, all right, all right, all right. Well, I can only deal with so much of that kind of thing. It's time once again for Moscow Mailbag. And we will be taking your phone calls at 632-6901. For some reason, lots of people are calling in already. I don't know why that is, because last week we couldn't get anybody to call in at all. Now they're calling in before we even asked them to, which is proof of the unpredictability of the human race. But apart from that, we're going to be confusing operators and moving around the country and doing all kinds of other fun things as well. So stay with us on this wonderful May evening. We'll be going into the news, too, but first things first, time to find out what's happening over there in the strange and volatile country of the Soviet Union.
This is your program, Moscow Mailbag.
That's not the way it's supposed to sound. Hold on, there's a switch here. That's better. Sorry, folks. No disrespect intended.
And here's Joe Adamoff to answer your questions. The first one comes from David Johnson of New York, who asks why we didn't compete with the United States in the race to the moon.
You know, at one time, the answer to that question was taboo. Not anymore. We used to say that we did not believe that space research was an arena of competition for the country's image. Nevertheless, I remember very well we had a song, the words of which went, "We will leave our footprints on the dusty roads of distant planets." Today we know who left their footprints on the moon. We also said that our automatic probes, which brought back samples of moon rock, and our moon rovers, which traveled on the surface of the moon and were driven from Earth, gave science no less than did the United States manned landings. That may be so, but you cannot deny the great effect that the United States landings by the Apollo crews had for prestige. So why did we not land on the moon? We had the technology, the know-how, but not the powerful rocket like your Saturn. Today we have the Energia, a rocket which can lift a payload of 100 tons.
David Johnson also asks, I've heard of the incompetence of your airline, Aeroflot. Now, is this true?
I'm afraid it is. I wouldn't say it's incompetent, though, technically, but it's not too popular with the man in the street. In the fall of 89, I was invited to the United States on business and did not go because Radio Moscow could not get me tickets for rubles. Preposterous. There are enormous lines at booking offices. The airports are crowded, sometimes with people having to wait for several days for their flight in crowded airports, often sitting or lying on the floor. You know, I flew in to Moscow from Phoenix, Arizona in October. It took almost an hour to claim my bag and over an hour to go through customs. Now, is that normal? And when I see neon signs saying Aeroflot flies to all points on the globe, it makes me indignant. Yes, they do have flights to 100 countries. Yes, they do carry 120 million passengers annually. But how? And then 15 million passengers every year are unable to book tickets and are turned down. We've got to give them credit, though, too. They are introducing, very slowly, though, new generations of airliners, like the Ilyushin 96, which can carry 300 passengers and has a range of up to 7,000 miles, or the Ilyushin 86. It's an Airbus, a double-decker, which can carry 350 passengers at a speed of 600 miles an hour. But, you know, there's a good old English word. It's the same in Russian. Service.
What are some of the breeds of dogs that people keep in Moscow?
That's a nice change of subject. Well, there are a lot of poodles around my house, but they say the most popular breed is the Cocker Spaniel. We have Airedales, Setters, some Great Danes, Borzois, you call them Russian Wolfhounds, German Shepherds are common, Somebody here, incidentally, called the Doberman Pinschers pets and not service dogs. There was a big story about that on our television. There's a big gully next to my house where people usually walk their pets. I see many collies. There's a boxer in the entrance next to mine. My neighbor, incidentally, I forgot the main thing, has a Newfoundland. I feed it with chocolate candies, though I know you're not supposed to. Well, huskies are popular, pointers, foxhounds, drathars, and kurzhars. On television, we see dog shows. Well, I guess this takes their mind off the shadier sides of life. A young couple in the house across the street keeps three dogs, a German shepherd and two big black dogs, the breed of which I do not know.
We're still answering questions of David Johnson from New York. His other question is, what would you say is the highlight of the recent extraordinary Congress of the Russian Republic?
It was originally called by the hardliners to get rid of Yeltsin, but it didn't work. Though at times, you know, the Congress reminded one of a political free-for-all. The highlight, in my opinion, was the formation of a faction called Communists for Democracy. Over 170 deputies broke from the diehards and were headed by Colonel Rutskoy, an able, logical, erudite man with graying hair and a mustache. Incidentally, he boasts the top military award in this country, the Gold Star of Hero. He's a forceful and convincing speaker who calls for compromise, for dialogue, and a round table with the Democrats. He called on the deputies to stop this confrontation, this endless bickering, and get down to pulling the country out of the economic crisis. His movement is gaining more and more followers, and not only in Congress. I think that was the highlight. But of course the Congress decided to hold a countrywide general election in June and elect a president of the Russian Republic. Well, I think that is the number two highlight, if I may call it that.
When were telephones first introduced in Russia?
Back in 1881, that's 5 years after Alexander Graham Bell introduced them in the United States. They appeared in the Urals, later in Moscow, St. Petersburg, and Odessa. Unfortunately, over 100 years later, only about a quarter of our homes have phones in the cities.
Another space question. What does the name of your space station, Mir, mean?
Mir in Russian means peace. We just marked the 30 years of the first man in space, Yuri Gagarin. Incidentally, he was launched on April 12th. Your first shuttle was also launched on April 12th. A very strange coincidence.
And what is the cost of a taxi ride?
Aha! We just doubled the cost of a taxi ride. A Soviet citizen now pays $1.08 a mile in the daytime, which is comparable to what you pay, and $1.63 after 9 p.m. That's according to the official rate of exchange. But if you come and change your dollars for rubles, you'd be paying 2.5 cents and 3.5 cents a mile. So do come and you'll find life here dirt cheap. But don't be surprised if the cabbie asks you for dollars, not rubles. I didn't say anything.
And now a letter from John Harris of San Francisco, California. Do you have juries in your courts?
No, we have no juries. We have people's assessors who are also, incidentally, elected by the population like your juries. The court is made up of one judge and two people's assessors. They all have equal rights. The three hand down both the verdict and the sentence. Now, if the verdict and sentence of the two assessors is different from the judge, the verdict and sentence is theirs. The system of assessors has been criticized very widely, and I'd say strongly. They do not very often take a principled stand, are not active enough, and are often under the pressure of the judge. and there have been suggestions to increase the number of assessors.
Tell me about Mr. Gorbachev's coming visit to Japan.
Well, your letter was written before he left for Japan, but now that the visit is over, I'll say this. This is the first visit of a head of state from this country to Japan. In that sense, it is historic. Gorbachev had 7 sessions with Prime Minister Kaifu. The reception was warm. Mr. Gorbachev met the emperor and everybody that was anybody. All the presidents of the major Japanese companies, whose names are household words in the United States. Naturally, he met the members of parliament. He addressed them. Many important agreements were signed, and no doubt this was a big step forward in our relations. But unfortunately, there were no major breakthroughs in our business relations, and we certainly need Japanese investments. The stumbling block was the old problem of the 4 tiny islands just north of Hokkaido. We say they're ours, the Japanese say that they're theirs, and whole pages had been devoted to this problem prior to the visit. Some patriots here say, stop giving away what is ours by right. Well, you want my opinion? If we could release whole elephants in Eastern Europe, here we were reluctant to give up 4 tiny insects in the Sea of Japan. Izvestia, just before the visit, said, it is not Japan that needs the Soviet Union. It is the Soviet Union that needs Japan. That may be so, but advantages, of course, from major economic ties would be mutual. I'll conclude by saying that President Gorbachev called this visit a prologue to major breakthroughs in the future. So let's wait and see.
And to change the subject, do you have ice cream parlors?
A few, yes, a few. Most of our ice cream is sold from kiosks in the streets, and to the surprise of foreigners, kids eat ice cream even in winter. But many people, both in summer and winter, take it home to eat after lunch or dinner. I must say, though, in all fairness, we have excellent ice cream. That is a fact, especially what we call plombier. A friend of mine from the States, well on in years, who often comes from the States to the Soviet Union, consumes about a pound of it at one sitting. Incidentally, if you want to know, Moscow eats 170 tons of ice cream a day.
How many of the Soviet soldiers held as prisoners of war by the Nazis return home at the end of the war?
You know, there are different figures, but I think most authors agree that there were about 5 million Soviet prisoners of war in Nazi captivity, and something like 1 million survived to return home. Most were taken prisoner at the beginning of the war. They died of exposure, of unbearable work, of malnutrition, of disease, and just plain extermination.
Are most of your trains diesel or electric?
Our electrified railroads account for half of all our railroad traffic. But, like everything else, our railroads have come in for scathing criticism for bad service. Unfortunately, there have been quite a number of major accidents, and there are also endless violations of schedules. But, of course, railroads, I will say, to this day, account for most of our passenger traffic, and 70% of our cargoes over long and medium distances are carried by rail.
And now, Tim Walters of Atlanta, Georgia, asks, why are all your programs taped?
You know, if all our programs to the United States were live, we'd have to lead an American way of life and stay up till about 6 or 7 in the morning, which I did, incidentally, until 1949, when the volume of broadcasting increased, and I happened to be the initiator of going over to recordings, naturally. How else? This was opposed by the editor-in-chief, who kept mumbling, you'll never get through with the recordings before airtime. The very first day, we recorded everything several hours before airtime.
Now, what does the word bomzh mean in Russian?
Bomzh is a Russian acronym. It's a combination of four Russian letters, which stand for without a permanent residence. Bomzh in plain old English means homeless person. Now, where did you learn about this word? I suppose you must have read it in one of your papers, or am I wrong? This is a problem we now have to face. There are very many reasons for the appearance of the homeless. Convicts released from prison are not readily given a job. They're constantly turned down because they have no work. They cannot apply for a home, and vice versa. It's a vicious circle. But there are many, many other problems, too. But we are beginning to tackle the problem, nevertheless.
Tim is also interested, do you have privately owned radio and television stations?
No, we do not as yet have privately owned stations, but independent or alternate stations are springing up. Independent of the central government, that is. Radio Russia is one, and I constantly find myself listening to it. They broadcast live about 5 hours a day here in Moscow. It was an uphill fight to get that airtime. The biggest problem, of course, is technical. But any day now, we expect to see a regular Russian television program on Channel 2 of national television. By Russian, I mean belonging to the Russian Republic. So let's keep our fingers crossed.
And that was Joe Adamoff answering your questions on Moscow Mailbag. Address your letters to Radio Moscow, Moscow, the USSR. And you couldn't do better than write us that letter. Your comments on this show are welcome. Mailbag is on the air every Saturday, Sunday, and Wednesday on the East Coast at 2310 and 0210 UTC and on the West Coast at 0410 and 0610 UTC. Thank you.
listening to music by Laurie Spiegel, Appalachian Groove. And we heard Moscow Mailbag, found out all about their telephone system and ways of life. And we'll be finding out more about our ways of life here in the United States, so stay with us. And the best way to check out a way of life is to look at the news, and that's what we're going to... Oh, no, I'm not going to read that. It's awful. No, no, that's unacceptable at all. Okay, this is better. This is better. The world's news as of a few moments ago. Get ready. An Indiana judge has ruled a severely brain-damaged woman should be fed while his earlier ruling affirming her right to die is appealed. Well, I sure envy that person. Doctors had said they expected Sue Ann Lawrence to die in a matter of days. But a Christian group had appealed to the judge asking that the feeding tube be replaced after being removed 2 weeks ago. Lawrence lapsed into a vegetative state after a fall about 4 years ago. What is it about these Christian groups, you know? First ones to march off to war and kill all the heathens and nasty people. 250,000 Iraqis, no problem. But, I don't know. A lot of contradictions here. By the tens of thousands, Americans today saluted Gulf War veterans in parades around the country. One of the biggest celebrations was in Orange County, California. It drew an estimated 200,000 people. About the number of people that we killed over there. Kind of interesting point there. Someone should have said that at some point. Hey, you know, this nice crowd here, you would have been wiped out had you been Iraqi. Not Iraqi soldiers. Okay, let's give them a little bit of credit. They didn't go around murdering civilians, but the state that the army was in is not too far away from a civilian, I don't think. Anyway, several protesters were arrested at a San Francisco parade. Doesn't say why they were arrested. I guess protesting is a crime. Defense Secretary Dick Cheney was not arrested. He was on hand for a similar celebration in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and Orlando, Florida. I don't know if they cloned him or if he just moved around a lot, but he was there for both of them. The first members of the United Nations peacekeeping contingent have arrived in Iraq. Ten guards? Oh, come on. 10 guards arrived near Baghdad today from Geneva. That ought to keep it real secure. Boy, I feel great now. They're expected to move to camps in provincial capitals in 4 Kurdish regions in the north and the Shiite stronghold in southern Iraq. The force, consisting of hired guards, about 3 of those, I think, is eventually expected to number in the hundreds. Oh, boy. Oh, wow. I mean, what did we send? 250,000 troops over there, and now we're sending hundreds of people. Yeah. Amid reports of torture of prisoners, Kuwait tomorrow begins trials of suspected Iraqi collaborators. Those going to trial include 1 Egyptian, Jordanians, and Iraqis. The maximum penalty for collaborating with the Iraqis is death. Space Shuttle Columbia is scheduled to blast into orbit next week. NASA has begun the countdown clock toward Wednesday morning's launch of the shuttle. Of course, we all know it's not going to happen. It never does. But why not? Why not play along? Over 9 days, 4 medical specialists will draw blood, monitor heart and lung activity, and measure changes in body mass. This is while they're in space, not just down here. And why in God's name are they doing this? Well, they want to get a better idea how space affects the human body. And speaking of space, Vice President Quayle has been forced to cancel some planned events in Japan tomorrow. A spokesman says some problems were discovered with Air Force Two during refueling at an Alaska airbase. Sorry, George. Better luck next time. They're too sharp for you. Yeah. Repair of the navigation device prompted a delay of about 5 hours. Quayle is expected to resume his planned itinerary on Monday. It's an article about Quayle today in the newspaper. We're going to get to that in a minute. Or Quayle Watch. No Quayle quotes, though. We were looking for Quayle quotes, but he hasn't said anything recently. You know, they're keeping him away from the microphones. So sad. Anyway, a spokesman for LifeNet Transplant Services says two more people have tested positive for AIDS, apparently contracting the disease from an infected organ donor who died about 6 years ago. The Virginia-based company says it learned only recently that the man may have had AIDS. Three others who received the 22-year-old donor's organs have died, and another also has tested positive for the disease. Yet, the authorities say it's all under control. The Soviet general who commanded troops in Afghanistan has been named a candidate for a top office in the Russian Republic. You thought Schwarzkopf was the only one. Nuh-uh. The general was named today as the running mate of former Prime Minister Nikolai Ryzhkov, who's vying for the Republic's presidency. The selection of the general appears geared to win support from the military, the Communist Party, and others worried about growing ethnic and political conflicts. I could sit here all day. That's the name of the song that's fading out by Megan Roberts. In any event, let's go local now. Hop Hog. Just down the road a ways, right in our signal range. Do you know there's a pregnant camel in Hop Hog today? There's a pregnant camel walking around the streets. Now, that was probably the highlight of the whole thing, as far as I'm concerned. But a pregnant camel with a yellow ribbon was the highlight. Oh, they say it's a highlight, too. Okay. I'm glad I'm in agreement with the Associated Press. It doesn't happen very often. A pregnant camel with a yellow ribbon was the highlight of Suffolk County's Welcome Home Parade for its troops who are back from the Persian Gulf War. So that tells you something about the war, I guess, a pregnant camel being the highlight. About 3,000 marchers, including 200 veterans of the war and a marching band, stepped off at about 10 this morning on Veterans Memorial Highway in Hop Hog. What happens if they don't get a marching band? What if they just get a band? Do they have to, like, stand still? And what happens if you get a marching band in an auditorium? Does everybody have to walk around in circles? You know, is there a different requirement to be in a marching band than to be in a regular band? That's what I'm trying to figure out here. I'm sorry, I was just wondering about that. Anyway, get back to the story here. They were greeted by about 20,000 clapping and cheering spectators lining the two-mile route. The parade included a missile launcher, a flatbed loaded with replicas of Grumman's fighting aircraft, and a live camel, which was named Stormy. Nothing like flexing one's muscles in front of the citizenry. The camel was loaned by the Long Island Game Farm in Manorville. Yeah, we didn't take it back from Iraq. Now, it was loaned by the Long Island Game Farm in Manorville to lend some Persian Gulf flavor to the parade. Should have just brought some POWs and paraded them around inside a truck. You know, that probably would have gotten the cheers a little louder. Anyway, when the animal arrived for the parade, no one knew she was 3 months pregnant and is to deliver her offspring in another 10 months. Well, okay, Associated Press, if no one knew that, how did you find out? What kind of investigative journalism was at work there today? Well, no one was supposed to know she was 3 months pregnant, so somehow they found out. I don't know how. Suffolk County Executive Patrick Halpin said the $20,000 cost of the parade will be paid through private donations. Private donations that will not go to fight AIDS or to help balance some budgets or save the environment or anything like that. But $20,000 just to rub it in a little bit and flex our muscles and say how great we are and all kinds of things like that. You know, I'm for welcoming people home, but this is criminal behavior as far as I'm concerned. Reviewing stand was set up at the H. Lee Dennison building. How wonderfully nice. Now, of course, New York City is going to have this big extravaganza as the city literally crumbles in front of everybody. They're going to spend millions of dollars on a parade for the war that never really was for us, anyway. I mean, come on, folks. What kind of war could it be where only, you know, a handful of us get hurt and hundreds of thousands on the other side perish? You know, we might as well have waged war in Bangladesh. Nothing to be proud of there. I mean, the situation is better than it was a few months ago. That's something to be happy about. But how proud can you be about having to do that? Anyway, I promised you a Dan Quayle story, and I'm not going to let you down. And here it is. From today's New York Times. Quail to press to save space station. Doesn't it have kind of a rhythm to it? Quail to press to save space station. Anyway, that's not his fault. That's the headline in the New York Times. Yesterday's New York Times. The Bush administration vowed on Thursday to keep alive its plan to build an orbiting space station as the centerpiece of the manned space program after a powerful House subcommittee voted to end the beleaguered project. The action is totally unacceptable, said Vice President Dan Quayle, who heads the National Space Council. If that's not an appropriate title, I don't know what is. The Bush administration will continue to push for a vigorous space exploration program, and I believe we will prevail. President Bush's spokesman, Marlon Fitzwater, said Mr. Bush was disappointed by the 6-3 vote by a House Appropriations Subcommittee on Wednesday, eliminating $2 billion on the $2 billion the administration had requested to build the space station. Some party line voting indicates they're interested in making a political point as much as a substantive point, Mr. Fitzwater said, so I'm sure there'll be a fight over it, but we intend to try to get it back. Although many further votes could overturn the subcommittee's action, the move was serious because no congressional group that oversees the National Aeronautics and Space Administration had ever taken the station out of the budget, in effect expressing a complete loss of confidence in the giant undertaking. They've always been postponing it, you know, year after year after year. I've been hearing about the space station since I was 5 years old, but incredible.
Well, I was lying in bed one morning, trying to think of a really good reason to get up, and the phone rang, and it was Jerry, and she said,
"Hey, hi, how are you? What's going on? How's your work going?"
"Oh, fine, you know, just waking up, but it's fine. It's going okay. How's yours?"
"Oh, a lot of work, you know, I'm..."
"Really should get together next week, you know, have lunch and talk," you know, and she says,
"Yeah. I'll be in touch. Okay.
Okay.
And take care.
Take it easy.
See you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye now."
And I get up, and the phone rings again, and it's a man from Cleveland, and he says,
"Hey, hi. How are you? Listen, I'm doing a performance series, and I'd like you to do something in it. You know, you can make a little money. I don't know how I feel about your work, you know. It's not really my style, kind of trite. But listen, it's just my opinion. Don't take it personally. So listen, I'll be in town next week. I gotta go now, but I'll give you a call. We'll have lunch. We can discuss a few things."
I hang up, and it rings again, and I don't answer it. And I go out for a walk. They drop in at the gallery, and they say, "Hey, hi. How are you? Fine, you know, how's your work going? Okay, you know, it's just not like it was in the 60s. Those were the days. There's just no money around now. You know, survive, produce, stick it out. It's a jungle out there, so just keep working." And the phone rings, and she says, "Oh, excuse me, will you?"
"Well, hi, how are you? How's your work?" "Good, uh-huh, uh-huh. Well, stick it out. Not the 60s, you know. Listen, I gotta go now. Your lunch would be great. Next week? Yeah, great. Very busy now, but next week would be fine. Okay, bye now.
And I go to Magoo's for a bite, and I see Frank. And I go over to his table, and I say, hey, Frank. Hi, how are you? How's your work? Good. Okay, yeah, mine's okay, too. You know, I'm broke, you know, but working. Listen, I gotta go. Okay, listen, we should really get together. Why don't you drop by sometime? Yeah, that'd be great. Listen, take care. Take it easy. I'll see you. I'll call you. Bye-bye. Bye now. And I go to a party, and everyone's sitting around wearing these party hats, and it's really awkward, and no one can think of anything to say. So we all move around fast. And it's, hi, how are you? Hey, listen, where have you been? Nice to see you. Sorry I didn't make your performance last week. Listen, we should really get together next week. You know, I'll call you. I'll see you. Okay, bye-bye. And I go home, and the phone rings, and it's Alan, and he says,
hey, hi. Listen, I'm going to have a show on cable TV, and it's going to be about loneliness. You know, people in the city who, for whatever sociological, psychological, philosophical reasons, just can't seem to communicate. You know, the gap, the gap. You know, it'll be a talk show and people will phone in, but we will say at the beginning of each program, listen, don't call in with your personal problems because we don't want to hear them.
And I'm going to sleep, and it rings again, and it's Mary, and she says,
hey, Lori, hi, how are you? Listen, just called to say hi, and don't worry, listen, just keep working. I gotta go now. I know it's late, but we should really get together next week. And listen, Lori, if you want to talk, I'll leave my answering machine on, and just give me a ring anytime.
Yeah, I know. We heard that a couple of weeks ago, but it just came on again, and I couldn't resist it. New York Social Life by Laurie Anderson. And before that, we also were talking over Points by Ruth Anderson, as we were talking about Dan Quayle.
18, 22, 49, 07, May 18, 22, 49, 13, May 18, 22, 49, 19, May 18.
All right. You've fulfilled your purpose here. So getting back to Dan Quayle, yes, Mr. Pike of the Federation of American Scientists said Wednesday's congressional move would be a test of strength for Dan Quayle. They've put the ball in Quayle's court to go out there and get the money. So can you imagine that? The fate of the space station is now in Dan Quayle's hands. I mean, I can't think of anything more appropriate than that, but I'm all for it, you know? I'm all for saving the space station. I think there should be a space station. I always have thought there should be a space station. You know, that way, at least when they destroy the Earth, there'll be about five people up there that won't perish. And I think Dan Quayle knows that, and he'll probably be one of them. Alphonse D'Amato, yes, he's really angry recently. I don't know if everybody's been watching the news, but they had this thing about 60 Minutes... a few weeks ago where they said some stuff about him, and he didn't like the fact that they did that, and he was angry because they wouldn't give him a chance to talk on the program live, which is something they never do anyway. So what he's going to do, seeking to set the record straight, he has bought a half hour of television time. Now I want to know where the money came from for him to buy a half hour of television time. Is he actually buying this out of his own pocket, or is he using, you know, well, even if it is out of his own pocket, it's money that we pay him to be, you know, the senator. So it's kind of wasted, I think. You know, he's devoted an awful lot of time to setting the record straight and, you know, doing all this when he could have just agreed to an interview in the first place. But anyway, he has bought a half hour of television time to rebut reports that he has misused his office to help friends and contributors. I want and need to set the record straight, the Republican from Long Island said yesterday. The program is to be broadcast from 10:30 to 11 p.m. on May 25th. May 25th. That's, oh my God, that's exactly a week from today at this time. How do you like that? He's going to be competing with me. Boy, I can't believe that. Anyway, May 25th on Channel 9. The cost of purchasing the time and producing the program is about $100,000. $100,000 for him to speak for a half hour. Here I am talking for 2 hours here on the radio, and I don't even get anything. Not a penny. Nobody does. $100,000. You know what we could do with $100,000 here, folks? I mean, He's from Long Island. We would have allowed him to speak for free for an entire day, and he could, too. He could have spoken for 12 hours straight. No problem. Filibuster radio. We can do it. Give us the $100,000, and we can, you know, build new transmitting facilities and improve everything for everybody. But no. Have to give $100,000 to Channel 9 for absolutely nothing. Mr. D'Amato is the subject of a federal grand jury investigation into abuses at the Department of Housing and Urban Development. During the Reagan administration, he is also being investigated by the Senate Select Committee on Ethics. Last month, the CBS News program 60 Minutes broadcast a report on Mr. D'Amato that repeated allegations that the senator had improperly used his influence to gain favors from the housing agency. The program also raised the question of whether he had taken money from mobsters. Mr. D'Amato, who insisted on being interviewed live on the program, a condition CBS refused, has denied any wrongdoing. You know, it's really something because I watched something on 2020 with Alphonse D'Amato where Sam Donaldson was asking him, well, you know, if this goes to some kind of a Senate hearing, do you want that to be made public? And he just kept saying, well, that's up to the Senate to decide. It's like, and Sam Donaldson was saying, but what do you think? Well, it's not up to me. It's up to the Senate. The Senate has to decide that. I have no say in it. But what do you want? What do you think? Well, you know, what I think is really immaterial. He would not answer the question. Now, how can you have any faith in somebody that doesn't answer a direct question like that, you know? I mean, I respect honesty. Like Ed Koch, he's an honest person, even though I disagree with everything he's ever said. But he is honest, you know, and you gotta admire somebody who's willing to stand up and say what's on their mind, even if it's like the most stupid thing in the world. Alphonse D'Amato. Well, 1 week from tonight, folks, this time, 10:30 to 11 o'clock. I wonder if we can simulcast that. That would be fun, wouldn't it? We can do it in dub. Alphonse D'Amato in dub here on USB. Who's been following the Queen? The Queen has been in the United States. She addressed Congress, and she's been hugged. She's been not seen by a lot of people making a speech because she's so tiny. But that's what happens, you know? That's what happens when you have visiting monarchs. All kinds of unpredictable things. Queen Elizabeth II celebrated the cooperation and commonality. It's a word I've heard bandied about a few times in the last couple of days. Commonality between the United States and Britain in an address to Congress yesterday. Actually, the address was Thursday. Thank you. Some people believe that power grows from the barrel of a gun, the Queen said in her remarks to a joint meeting of Congress. So it can. But history shows that it never grows well, nor for very long. Force, in the end, is sterile. We have gone a better way. Our societies rest on mutual agreement, on contract, and on consensus. It was the first time a British monarch has ever addressed Congress, although royalty from other countries have made speeches. Here's the good part. Wearing a pale orange-colored dress and matching hat with cream-colored gloves. Why in the world does the Times think that's important to us? I don't know. Pale orange-colored dress and matching hat with cream-colored gloves. How anybody could have worn gloves in the hot sun is beyond me. But anyway, the Queen was given a standing ovation as she and her husband, Prince Philip, doesn't say what he was wearing, entered the House chamber. The chamber was packed with members of Congress, cabinet officials, and diplomats. The aisles filled with congressional aides and the walls dotted with blue, sweated congressional pages who had climbed onto pedestals along the wall for a better view. About 800 people were in the chamber, said a spokesman for the Capitol Police. I do hope you can see me today, she said at the start of her speech, evoking laughter in a second standing ovation with a reference to her face being obscured by microphones during her address at the White House on Tuesday. On that occasion, the 5-foot-4-inch queen was dubbed the Talking Hat after she stepped up to a lectern so tall that only her broad-brimmed purple hat was visible over the clutch of microphones to television viewers and those standing in front of her. Applause again echoed through the chamber when the Queen thanked the United States for its actions during the Persian Gulf War and previous wars and conflicts. And when she quoted Ralph Waldo Emerson on England's pluck in times of trouble, "I feel, in regard to this aged England, with a kind of instinct, that she sees a little better on a cloudy day, and that in storm of battle and calamity, she has a secret vigor and a pulse like a cannon." Oh. The Queen said the United States and Britain were doing our best to reestablish peace and civil order in the region after the Gulf War. Unfortunately, experience shows that great enterprises seldom end with a tidy and satisfactory flourish, she said. Which is why we gotta mop up the debris, right? Adding that the United States and Britain have a special advantage in seeking to guide the process of change because of the rich ethnic and cultural diversity of both our societies. A Buckingham Palace spokesman said the Queen's remarks had been written by British embassy officials. Now, why can't she write her own words? Why can't any politician or leader write their own words? Hell, I don't want somebody writing a speech for me. Anyway, Representative Joseph P. Kennedy, the second Democrat of Massachusetts, and several other colleagues boycotted the monarch's speech to Congress in protest to the British occupation in Northern Ireland. Remember that? It's still going on. Across the street from the Capitol, 24 Irish Americans opposed to the British occupation of Northern Ireland also protested the Queen's visit. Representative Gus Savage, Democrat of Illinois, along with the Reverend Al Sharpton. Oh, come on. The civil rights advocate from Brooklyn. How did he get down there? He urged blacks to stay away because of Britain's decision to lift sanctions against South Africa and because of what they called growing racial tensions in England. Senator Edward Kennedy, Democrat of Massachusetts, Joseph Kennedy's uncle, attended the speech and a luncheon given afterward by the Queen. Some family strife in the Kennedy household then. One Kennedy goes, one Kennedy doesn't. We had a vicious argument about it later. The Queen's speech came on the third day of a 13-day visit to the United States, which has so far included a White House state dinner, visits to the homes of some ordinary Washington residents, and a baseball game in Baltimore between the Orioles and the Oakland Athletics. The Queen began her schedule on Thursday with a visit to the Folger's Shakespeare Library, a block from the Capitol. In the afternoon, she visited Mount Vernon, the home of George Washington, which she had toured as Princess Elizabeth in November 1951, 3 months before she became Queen. And I guess she's gone, because it says she has to leave on Friday, and this is Friday's paper. And she is also supposed to go to Florida, Texas, and Kentucky before returning to London May 26th. What fun. The Queen is in the country. And that's about all the international news we've got for you right now. Sarcasm and whatnot. We're going to go into the tripods in just a moment, but first we've got a special song here that has been queued up for me from the Butthole Surfers album, Hairway to Steven. Man, this song has no title. That's what makes it so weird. The only thing that it is a diagram of a horse on the actual label of the record. It's a horse, and the horse is, it's, you know what horses do all the time. Well, it's not that, but it's close. I'll leave it at that. I mean, you get the basic idea, but that's, I guess, what the song is about, or the name of the song, or something along those lines. It's doesn't matter what the song is about. It's for your entertainment purposes. And right after that, we'll find out what the tripods are up to over in France. Hopefully they'll get that statue and get back here so they can resume their lives here on Long Island. We'll be taking phone calls after the hour, 632-6901. We can talk about anything at all that we may have discussed in the last few minutes or anything that we will be discussing in the next hour. This is Brain Damage here on WUSB in Stony Brook. Thank you. Free Long Island Indoctrination with the Three Village Tobacco Farms proudly presents the exciting episode of the Tripod Family, the story of one of America's most illustrious families and their struggle to find peace and happiness in the suburbs of Long Island. As we join our friends today, we see Kathy and Howard with their friend Boris, and they're getting closer and closer to the statue and the treasure, but Howard is getting more and more nervous.
Look, Boris, I don't care what you say. I don't want to stay here in these sewers any longer. They're scary. I mean, I can certainly tolerate them, but try to consider what you're putting my wife through.
Oh, I'm okay, Howard. I'm not scared at all.
See? You have poor Kathy so petrified she can't see how frightened she really is.
Mr. Tripod, try to understand we have come such a long way, and the treasure is so very close now.
Is that the only thing that matters to you? Can't you see our lives are in danger if we remain down here?
I can assure you, Mr. Tripod, that nobody's life is in any danger. You should stop behaving so hysterically.
That is all the proof I need. Come on, Kathy, we're getting out of this place.
Oh, I don't know, Howard. I still think that could have been the wind.
Kathy, don't tell me you're all caught up in this treasure nonsense, too.
Oh, no. I want the statue.
I'm leaving this place and you're coming with me. If you want to stay here, Boris, and look for your treasure, that's fine with me. But we're leaving.
Don't go, Mr. Tripod. You'll never find your way out without my help.
I'll simply go back the way we came. That's easy enough.
But the sewer system does not work that way. You cannot... Oh! Oh, here it is. I have found it.
What? You found the treasure?
Look, Howard. There it is. The statue. Just like the one we broke in Charlie's house.
You mean like the one you broke?
I cannot believe it. Here it is. I am holding the statue. At last.
Boris, you're starting to look kind of strange.
You noticed that too, Howard?
Yeah, sort of an apoplectic type of look.
Like he's in some sort of a trance. I saw the same symptoms on Marcus Welby once.
What happened?
Well, the person got so excited they couldn't speak. It lasted for about 4 days.
Well, that's what seems to be happening here. Boris, can you hear us?
Yes, he just turned his head, Howard.
Yeah, he knows what's going on. He just can't communicate with us.
That's not good for us.
You're right, Kathy. He's the only one who really knows the sewer system. The only way we can get out is if we follow him.
Well, he still knows the way out. He just can't talk to us, that's all. Boris, take us back to where we came from.
Okay, follow him now, Kathy. There he goes. Boy, I can hardly wait to get back outside. I really hate this place. I don't know about you.
I'm just glad we finally got the statue. I can hardly wait till Charlie sees it.
You know, Kathy, I'm afraid there's something you haven't thought about.
What's that, Howard?
Well, you want to bring the statue home, and Boris over here wants the treasure that's inside the statue, right?
Yeah, that's right. So?
Well, I think the only way to get to the treasure is to smash the statue.
Oh, no. Don't say a thing like that, Howard.
I think it's true, Kathy. Which means we've been wasting our time again.
Oh, I hope not. I was so looking forward to...
What is it?
Look, straight ahead.
A door. I didn't see that before.
Probably because it was wide open before.
And now it's closing. We're going to have to run to get out.
Come on!
Oh, no. We're too late.
And so our friends appear to be having some difficulty leaving the sewer system of Nice, France, with the valued statue. You want to be with us next time when we'll hear Kathy say... That's next time on the exciting adventures of the Tripod Family. A presentation of Radio Free Long Island and the Three Village Tobacco Farms. This is Don Topeka. And that's a cart that's not queued up. How about that? Well, this is WUSB's Stony Brook. It's 11 minutes after 11 o'clock. And no, I'm not going to play you now, so to hell with it. I was going to play a public service announcement, but they're not queued up, so you lost your chance. Instead, what we will do is do something courageous, valiant, and yes, necessary. We're opening the door, sticking our heads outside into the cold, the wind, the rain, and the snow, all to get the answer to one very important and very elusive question that has plagued mankind since at least last year. What's for lunch?
Good morning. Today, May 17th, I'll give you again the closing. H Cafeteria is closed. Fourth Cafeteria closes after lunch today. Kelly is closed. The deli will close at 5 o'clock today. The Bleacher Club closes after lunch today. Papa Joe's closes at 5 today. End of the Bridge is closed. Humanities closes after lunch today. The Treehouse Deli closes after lunch today. And the University Club closes after lunch today. Fanny Bryce Food Mall is closed at 5 o'clock today. There's no more Domino's Pizza. And the meal plan restriction is lifted so you can eat in the Union Building today. Have a good intercession. Don't forget to come up and have your pictures taken for next semester. We'll see you next year.
This extension is not accepting messages.
Oh. Well, folks, that's got to be the saddest message I've ever heard in my life. I don't know how we're going to have a good intercession with nothing open. A bunch of emaciated bodies lying in the hallway when people come back next September. Well, hard as it may seem, we have found what appears to be the final answer to this ongoing question. What's for lunch? The answer is not much. You know, I hope Governor Cuomo is happy, because I'll bet he's responsible for that somehow. Starving students here at the State University of Stony Brook. And on top of that, taking away a valuable entertainment resource for the folks here at Brain Damage. I just hope you're happy, Mario. I just hope you're happy. Okay, speaking of dropping services, this is fun. Nothing like a bit of fun, I always say. You ever hear of the computer service known as Prodigy? Prodigy is this shop-at-home service that has been immersed in controversy for all kinds of things. One thing was censorship. They were accused of censoring their users' mail and controlling conversations. In other words, if you started talking about something that involved one of their competitors, they cut you off. If you criticized Prodigy, they cut you off. If you took advantage of their offer a little bit too much, they had an offer where you could send unlimited electronic mail to other users. But if you actually did that, you also got cut off. And the controversy before then was, I like it laughing. the thing before that was, a file that they would actually copy into your directory on your computer. They would copy this file, and inside that file would be pieces of other files of yours, and copies of personal letters, and whatever you had in your computer would be inside that file. Now, I believe it's been proven that they didn't do that intentionally, but they did it nonetheless. And it's something that can't always be done whenever you write a file to a disk. So these people that, in all good intentions, had subscribed to this service were actually opening up their computers to this service out there somewhere, a service called Prodigy. And they had the ability to call up, well, actually, the users would call up Prodigy, and Prodigy would then have the ability to read the disks of the people who called in. Scary, scary situation, because nobody knew that was possible, and now they do. Well, now there's a new news item involving Prodigy. They provide computerized services to nearly a million subscribers. But on Wednesday, they dropped their grocery shopping service. That's right. Grocery shopping service is no more. They did that in a cost-cutting move that is part of its continuing attempt to become profitable after 3 years of operation. One analyst said the cutback of the service, which allowed people to order groceries using their home computer, illustrates Prodigy's problems in creating compelling services for its membership. Several analysts said the company must make further changes in its offerings and rein in costs in order to become profitable. Using home computers and telephone lines, Prodigy Services Company, a joint venture between the International Business Machines Corporation, you might know them as IBM, and Sears Roebuck and Company, you might know them as Sears, connects nearly a million subscribers to games, electronic banking, and shopping services. Analysts said IBM and Sears have invested hundreds of millions of dollars in Prodigy, buying mainframe computers and hiring 1,200 employees to run the service out of their secret location in Yorktown Heights. Prodigy charges a flat fee of $12.95 a month to belong to the service, but the bulk of its revenue comes from charging companies to display electronic advertisements along the bottom portion of subscribers' computer screens. A Prodigy spokesman, Brian Eck, played down the demise of the grocery shopping service. He said the grocery service was halted because it was available in only a limited number of cities and was used by just a fraction of Prodigy's members. Mr. X said the program had spent a significant amount of money trying to make the grocery service work, but he declined to be more specific. D'Agostino Supermarkets in New York had tried the service but dropped out last year, citing delivery problems and a lack of response. I mean, who would use a computer to get groceries? Doesn't seem to make much sense to me. I mean, call up the PC and type in what you want. Somehow it doesn't seem to work. Anyway, Mr. X said Prodigy's home banking, travel, and discount brokerage services are enjoying steady growth. He added that no other major cutbacks were planned, but said that in the current economic environment, everybody is looking for ways to cut costs. Richard Adler, just a very dramatic demonstration of that here. Richard Adler, a longtime Prodigy watcher in San Francisco, said Prodigy needed to make substantial changes in order to become viable. They have not found the secret of making people buy things through the service, maybe because people don't want that particular kind of service, and people are seeing the dangers of that particular service. You know, anything is certainly possible. What is that?
Caution. The following program is controversial. It may upset some listeners.
Ah.
It will excite others.
Is that it? Are we supposed to play that?
Because there was like a lot of calls coming in. People were just like, they want to go on the air, and they're upset and they're irate.
Why are they upset and irate? Here, take the microphone.
Didn't ask them why.
They're just upset and irate for no particular reason.
Well, because of,
Go be upset and irate somewhere else. Go be upset and irate in your street. Or, you know, I mean, what are I, the sounding board? Yeah, I am the sounding board, I guess. So, all right, call up if you're upset and irate. 632-6901. We'll be happy to hear from you. But, you know, you should be warned. You might not feel any better after venting your spleen.
I just thought you'd like that disclaimer.
Where did that come from? It just appeared?
Well, I recorded it off of,
Oh, you did it? Okay.
Yeah, I did it, yeah.
So, Kevin Kovarik is here. He recorded this thing, but where did you record it from?
Well, off of one of the...
Why is your microphone not working?
Because I'm not near it. Is it working now?
Yeah.
Sorry, it's only in mono. It's only in mono?
Oh, that's odd. It seems to be only in mono. You're right.
Yeah. Well, listen, Eric, I'd love to hang, but I got to go, man.
Okay.
So, short and sweet. I got to just take off here. I'm going to take my car, too.
Okay. So. If Frank is still out there, tell him the mic is only working in mono. It's something you definitely know about. But 632-6901, we have one phone call on the line. If we get three phone calls on the line, I'll cut right to the phones. How's that? That's fair. Anybody see the front page article today about Lotto and Spanish Lotto? Well, when New York State introduced Lotto, a game that entices people with get-rich fantasies while skimming 60 cents of each dollar bet, 60 cents of each dollar bet goes to New York State, a con artist on the street complained that the government was stealing their techniques. But some were inspired by the competition. They responded by using state lottery tickets for an improved game that skims 100 cents of each dollar. That's quite a skim. And we need one more phone call, 632-6901. In New York City, the police call the con game Spanish Lotto because its operators, there seem to be at least a dozen teams, and its victims are almost always Hispanic. Already this year, these marks have lost hundreds of thousands of dollars, and the traditional high season is just beginning now that warm weather is bringing flocks of potential victims to the sidewalks. Now, how can we become victims? Let's see if we can find out here. Spanish Lotto was derived from two classic scams, the pigeon drop and the handkerchief switch, which are known as short cons because they can be done quickly. It took only 2 hours one recent afternoon in the Bronx for Jesus Molina to lose $10,000. What an accomplishment. $10,000 he lost in 2 hours. All the savings he had built up since emigrating from the Dominican Republic 7 years ago. When he reported the loss to the police department's special fraud squad, Mr. Molina was surprised to find that the detectives already knew every step of the story. It was a classic game of Spanish Lotto. And his story begins, like all the others, with an approach from a person looking confused and asking, "Do you speak Spanish?" You know, I've always been wary of people who ask that. Tell you, no one better ask me that anymore. Because I know now. They just want my money. They want to rip me off. They just want to speak Spanish and take my money. Well, continuing along here, we're still waiting for that one phone call, folks. 632-6901. Mr. Molina, who is 37 years old, was walking along at Fordham Road and Webster Avenue in the Fordham section of the Bronx near his home. It was noon on April 8th, and he was looking for a new line of work to support his wife and two children. He had lost his longtime job as a restaurant chef in February, and now, after selling his car to raise money, he was thinking of buying a small grocery store. So there he was, walking along at Fordham Road and Webster Avenue in the Bronx. He was about to cross the street to look at the grocery store, the one he wanted to buy, when he heard the question from a man neatly dressed in a sports shirt who looked about 25 years old. "Do you speak Spanish?" the guy asked. When Mr. Molina replied in Spanish, the man asked him to help find a lawyer's office that was supposed to be at that corner. As Mr. Molina looked around in vain for the office, the man who said he was from Argentina turned to another man passing by. This second man, an Ecuadorian, boy, you got all of South and Central America represented here. It's really interesting. Second man, an Ecuadorian who appeared to be about 30, was wearing a suit and carrying a briefcase. He, too, looked around, and then he asked the first man why he needed a lawyer. The first guy said he had a winning lotto ticket and he needed help because he was an illegal alien and couldn't cash it, Mr. Molina recalled. The second guy asked to see the ticket. The first guy looked around suspiciously and reached in his underwear and pulled out the ticket. Then we all went to a payphone to confirm that it was a winning number. The date on the ticket read March 6, 1991, the first Wednesday of the month. Always a memorable day for devotees of Spanish Lotto. They note the winning number and wait until the next week to play it in a subsequent game. Because Lotto drawings are held every Wednesday and Saturday, there is always a Saturday drawing 10 days after that first Wednesday. March 6th and 16th, for instance. Or May 1st and May 11th. You get it, folks? By scraping off the one, con artists can easily turn a March 16th ticket into what looks like a March 6th ticket. And since they choose the numbers themselves, it's not too hard. Hey, this actually could work. But this would not fool lottery officials who check other numbers on a ticket to confirm its authenticity before paying a winner. But it is convincing to a mark, especially after he calls up the state lottery office and hears the winning numbers for the date. So, Mr. Molina thought he was holding the winning ticket for the March 6th drawing with a $15.5 million jackpot. Something happened to his judgment. Once you see the ticket and you hear the number matches, you just completely lose track of yourself, he said. Your mind just is not there. The way I was acting, I wonder if there was some chemical on that ticket they handed me. That state of mind was essential for the next stage of Spanish Lotto. The man in the suit pretended to call a New York State lottery office and inquire about an illegal alien cashing in a ticket. A genuine lottery official would have said that anyone, American or foreign, could cash in a ticket. But when the man handed the phone to Mr. Molina, a woman was on the line with a different story. The woman said a foreigner could cash the ticket only if he was accompanied by two American citizens. Each citizen would have to bring in $10,000 to show the lottery officials. They weren't going to collect the money, but they needed to see it so they knew we were responsible people who wouldn't rob the foreigner as soon as he collected his winnings. As if $10,000 makes you a responsible person. Anyway, this request for cash, the most delicate part of any con, may seem implausible to someone not caught up in the greed of the moment. But it consistently works in Spanish Lotto, just as similar requests for good faith money have worked in its ancestral cons, the handkerchief switch and pigeon drop. In the handkerchief switch, one of the con artists has money he wants to mark to safeguard, and he hands it over in a handkerchief. He promises to reward the mark for protecting this money, but he insists the mark show good faith by adding his own money to the bundle in the handkerchief. In the pigeon drop, the con artist pretend to find a stash of money in an envelope or purse near the mark. Then they pretend to consult a nearby lawyer or bank executive who says they can divide the found money if they first show they have money of their own. They may sound ridiculous, but people never stop falling for these cons, said Lieutenant Richard J. Malloy, the commanding officer of the Special Fraud Squad. Whenever the pigeon starts to get suspicious of the first con artist, the other one will reassure him. The shill will talk about their great luck and how he's going to use his money to take a vacation or pay for hospital bills, and it never occurs to the pigeon that he's part of the con. Anyway, the show in Mr. Molina's game played his role well. As soon as the woman on the phone mentioned the $10,000 requirement, the man in the suit offered to help the illegal alien, who promptly promised to reward him with $10,000 from the winnings. The show went off ostensibly to his bank and to his boss at a jewelry store in the neighborhood and returned with a wad of bills. He was likable, Mr. Molina said. He was very honest-looking with his suit and briefcase. He talked about going to church. We got into a conversation about our families and about our religion. I remember him telling me very sincerely, "It's good there are people like you and me who are willing to help people in need." After seeing the shill's money, Mr. Molina went to his home, where he picked up $6,000 in cash from the recent sale of his car. He went on to his bank, where he withdrew his $4,000 in savings. He returned with the money in an envelope and met the two men. I took out the envelope with the money, and the first guy looked at it and put the lottery ticket in it. He said he wanted me to hold it. He put the envelope in my briefcase. Then he said he needed some medicine. He'd been complaining about his stomach. Mr. Molina went to a drugstore for the medicine and returned to find the men gone. It was now 2:00. I thought the man might have gotten so sick that they had to go to the hospital, he said. I waited for a while, and then I got worried, standing out there with a briefcase full of all that cash and the winning ticket. I decided to go home and leave it there. It never occurred to him to simply keep the cash and the ticket for himself, Mr. Molina said. After leaving the briefcase at home, he went back to the corner and waited for 2 hours for the men. Then he went home, still wondering when the men would return for the ticket, and at 5 o'clock, he unsuspectingly opened the envelope. It was stuffed with deposit slips from Citibank. I couldn't believe it. I went in the bathroom, threw cold water in my face, and went back to take another look. There was still no money or ticket.
Six-pack rings are death traps for birds and other marine life. The plastic rings are invisible underwater, so fishing birds can easily catch one loop around their necks. If a dangling loop gets snagged on a stationary object, the bird can strangle or drown. Baby seals and sea lions can get the rings caught around their necks, and as they grow, the ring gets tighter and they suffocate. There's a quick and easy solution to this problem. With scissors, just snip each circle before you throw it away, and pick up any plastic six-pack rings you find lying on the beach and cut those circles too. Operation Earth. You can make a difference.
3:08, May 18. 23:33, 14, May 18. 23:33.
Well, our clocks are right.
20. May 18.
632-6901. You know, we had a whole lot of calls, and then as soon as I said we were going to go to the columns, a lot of them hung up. I guess it got stage fright or something. Well, it's nothing to worry about. If I can be on the air making a fool of myself for 2 hours, I'm sure 2 minutes isn't going to hurt anybody else. 632-6901. We're going to be doing a couple other things, too, and if hopefully we have time for that. Confusing operators and making bigger fools of ourselves than we ever imagined possible. But let's first of all see who's out there and what's on their minds. 632-6901. Good evening. Uh-oh. Oh, boy. Something horrible happened to the phone there. Okay. Maybe the phone is not set up in the proper way to receive calls. It's got some sort of a filter on it. Is that possible? No, I don't think so. 632-6901. Shall we do this now? I don't know. How did it... Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I know what somebody's doing. I know what somebody's doing. That's real funny, folks. Real funny. Okay. That's very good. That's very good. Somebody is transferring that tone to me. That's very good, because that's not the tone you're supposed to get. This is the tone you're supposed to get. See, it's different. It's different tone. Thought I was going to fall for that, huh? No. You got to get up pretty early in the morning to put one over on me there. What, should I answer it this time? See, these calls are popping up on hold already. So it's like someone has infiltrated the whole system here and has figured out how to pass calls around. Of course, I can't ignore the fact that nobody's calling either. 632-6901, area code 516, call us. And don't let anybody interfere with your call, please. Okay, I've had enough of this. Time to reach out and be a little vengeful ourselves. Yes, it's time once again to pick up the telephone and make an outward call to some poor unsuspecting operator somewhere in the world. And today, we're going to continue on our quest of last week, where we tried to wish Kathy Tripod a happy Mother's Day in Mongolia. Well, we found out that we were wrong. She's not in Mongolia. It's a stupid mistake. She's actually in Mauritania. Ha! That's it. Mauritania.
New York telephone. One moment, please.
We don't know her number. We have to find the number. That's the
hassle. Yes, please.
Yes, hello. I need information for Mauritania, please.
You need what?
Information for Mauritania.
Oh, an island?
Yes, in fact, it's a big island.
Okay, hold on. I have to get someone to help you. Sorry, I thought you were asking me for a last name of someone. Hold on.
Oh, no. No, that's not her last name. Her last name is Tripod.
A moment for an operator who can assist
you. Her last name is Mauritania.
Thank you.
That would be very silly. Kathy Mauritania, no, wouldn't work. The Mauritania family? No.
AT&T?
Yes, hello. I need overseas information, please, for Mauritania.
A where?
Mauritania.
One moment.
It's spelled M-A-U-R-I-T-I-A-N-A. I'm sorry, yeah, that's right. Oh, I just love waiting on hold. Now, I know where Mauritania is, and I'm sure all of our listeners know where Mauritania is.
Hold on.
But it's possible our operator does not know where it is. Mauritania is an island just to the east of Africa. Actually, it's part of Africa, I guess, but it's a huge island. It's sort of near South Africa and I believe Tanzania and places like that. And it's a place I'd like to go to. I really would like to go there. But that's irrelevant at the moment. You know, I forgot the name of the capital. Somebody have a map around here?
Vous avez demandé le service de l'opératrice. Veuillez patienter. Do you know what she's saying?
Well, it sounds like she's speaking in French and then she's speaking in Spanish. But she said something about vous avez demandé, which means something that you have asked for. Apparently, she can't give us. What number did you dial?
Information number.
Really?
You only have one number for information. I wonder why she can't give it to us. Hold on. Hold on.
You know Spanish, Gibret?
French.
Oh, you know French.
You need a resident number because we only have two different lines. One is for the operator there and one's for the information, and I'm getting a recording on both of those lines.
You're getting the same recording on both of those lines?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Is it possible?
A hotel that you need or something?
I'm sorry?
Is it a hotel number that you need or is it a residential number?
It's a residence. I mean, she owns her own business, too, but, is it possible to go through the operator in that country? And
that's what I was going to. Hold on, let's try to operate again.
Okay.
Vous avez demandé le service d'opératrice. Veuillez patienter. Vous avez demandé le service d'opératrice.
Is it possible to get language assistance?
Vous avez demandé le service d'opératrice.
That's a telephone company phrase.
الرجاء الانتظار وشكرا. Vous avez demandé le service de l'opératrice.
Hello, operator.
Vous avez demandé.
Hello, testing.
Veuillez patienter.
طلبتم خدمة
الموزعة الرجاء الانتظار وشكرا. طلبتم خدمة الموزعة الرجاء الانتظار وشكرا. Vous avez demandé le service.
Times like this, I wish I'd paid more attention in seventh grade French class.
Vous avez demandé le service de l'opératrice. Veuillez patienter. طلبتم خدمة الموزعة الرجاء الانتظار وشكرا. طلبتم خدمة الموزعة الرجاء الانتظار وشكرا. Vous avez demandé.
Okay, if there's somebody out there that can translate that for us, please tell us what they're saying. I don't know what happened to the operator. Is she going to leave us here forever?
Vous avez demandé le service d'opératrice, veuillez patienter. Vous avez demandé le service d'opératrice, veuillez patienter. طلبتم خدمة الموزعة الرجاء الانتظار وشكرا. طلبتم خدمة الموزعة الرجاء الانتظار وشكرا. Vous avez demandé.
Okay, Kibret is back. They've left us on this recording.
Vous avez demandé.
So we have plenty of time to translate.
Veuillez patienter. طلبتم خدمة الموزعة الرجاء الانتظار وشكرا. طلبتم خدمة الموزعة الرجاء الانتظار وشكرا. Vous avez demandé le service de l'opératrice.
Ah, she's got us off. always cut us off just when you're listening.
You have asked something, but I don't know.
You have asked a question that cannot be answered.
Aha, that's it.
Well, I'm afraid, once again, our mission has resulted in failure. But at least we reached out and confused an American operator and activated a Mauritanian recording somewhere. And that machine is still whirring away somewhere out there in Mauritania. We haven't reached Kathy Tripod yet, but we'll keep trying. What was that?
The effects of brain damage.
Yes, very much so. Well, our phone number is 632-6901. Let's see if there's anybody there or if it's just another siren. Is there a person here?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, good.
I got a couple questions.
Go ahead. What's your question?
Okay. I've been listening to Susie and the Banshees for quite a while. I'm trying to find out what you know, all their albums. And I only have a couple, and I don't know which ones to get. I'm trying to get, you know, the list of all the albums they made.
Well, Susie and the Banshees have a lot of albums out, don't they?
They do?
I think they do.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll see if somewhere between now and the end of the show, I can't get somebody to run back into the back room and get all those albums, and we will read them off one by one on the air.
That's excellent.
Would that be okay? That's the kind of service we provide here at USB. You know, we're all too happy to do that. All right. Sounds like we have an emergency interrupt on the call, so we're going to have to switch over to that and see who is there.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. Nice little friend there, you know. Someone is going to pay list price for this. But that's another matter. Good evening.
Hey, what's up?
Oh, not much.
Yeah.
It's one of those nights, you know.
I've been looking around for the EMF album. I can't find it anywhere.
EMF?
Yeah.
EMF.
Yep.
What does EMF stand for?
Discrete fecal material.
I have no idea.
Okay. Well, you want us to find it? Is that it?
Yeah, like, do you know any stores in Stony Brook that have it?
I don't know of any store in Stony Brook, period.
Really?
That sells records. I mean, I don't think we have a record store in Stony Brook, do we?
I don't know.
Go to the mall. Hang out in the mall.
Yeah, I've been going there a lot.
Yeah?
Can't find it. I've been going there for a couple of weeks.
Uh-huh.
I keep asking them to get it, but they're like, they don't know who it is.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, we'll just have to, we'll get the word out for you. How's that?
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Okay, thanks for calling.
All right.
632-6901, area code 516. And, oh, come on already. I mean, surely you can come up with something more imaginative than that. 632-6901. Same things calling us all the time. We have other features we want to get to. We do. They're not ready. They're not ready yet. They're in production. So please give us a call, 632-6901. Tell us what you think of the world situation. Did you go to the parade today? Did you go sun yourself on a beach somewhere? Did you watch television? You know they're going to announce the fate of Twin Peaks this week. What do you think of that, huh? There's lots of controversy out there. You just have to look for it. You just have to be willing to ask the hard questions and give the impossible answers. Good evening. That was actually surprisingly clever. Okay. Enough said, folks. We used to get on this radio program all kinds of people calling that had something to say. You know, they tell us events that happened in their lives. They tell us, you know, what their hopes were for the future. They talk about the radio station. They talk about, you know, this particular program. They talk about the news that happened this week and what's on TV and what else is on the radio. You know, am I to believe? Wow, that was an effective pitch, wasn't it? I got all five lines lit now. Well, let me just finish the sentence anyway. Am I to believe that there is so little to talk about now and that the times have gotten so depressingly boring and stodgy and miserable that we have nothing to call up about? Obviously, we do because we have a lot of lines here, so let's get to them. Good evening.
How are you?
Okay, I'm just fine.
I just wanted to tell you that was a very interesting phone call, whether or not you knew it.
What do you mean?
Well, quite obviously you didn't take Spanish in school.
That's very obvious, yes.
That was not Spanish. That was Arabic.
That was Arabic?
Yeah, you just taught me a geography lesson in 2 minutes. It's an island out west by, or out east by Africa, east to west.
So they were speaking Arabic, is that it?
Yeah, that was Arabic and French. I guess that's their two languages.
Wow, well, it does make sense, actually.
Ed, but I knew it was Arabic.
It sounded awfully Spanish to me. That's weird.
It was the Al-Kahara, whatever they said. That was definitely Arabic.
So do you understand what they were saying?
No, I understood some of the French. Something about the line not being healthy.
The line was not healthy. I love that.
Very interesting.
That's great.
Sound was cool, too. I that wasn't too bad.
Uh-huh.
The elephant phone call you got before?
The which?
The elephant phone call, you know, the... The sound effects. The one right before me, the elephant.
Yeah, the elephants were good.
Yeah, so I think that was us.
They hung up, so they didn't get any... Yeah, that was us. They didn't get any credit for that.
It was very good. You should.
We can't get to keep all the residuals when that happens.
It's kind of interesting. I'm listening to you on the Walkman out here in Huntington.
Uh-huh.
I hear you on one ear, and I hear another station on another ear.
Well, you're supposed to hear us on both ears, or you get your money back.
I want my money back.
Okay.
Well,
give us some money, and then we'll give it back. What?
Yeah, I just wanted to tell you that was Arabic and that was not Spanish, and you stand corrected.
Okay, I do stand corrected, and I appreciate the correction. That's something to... I should have known better, because they're not going to speak Spanish in southwestern or southeastern Africa, I guess.
I guess not, but it was Arabic.
Yeah. You know, I think it would be nice if the operator knew how to had a panel like situation that. Like that.
You would think that they would have some ability to translate some of that. You know, at least they should know French and Spanish.
They should know French, certainly. And they should know Spanish, definitely.
Well, you got her pretty well. Do you know what she's saying?
Well, that's the point. We confused the operator, and that's what we're here for.
Very interesting.
Thanks for the information.
Good night.
See ya. 632-6901. Good evening. Good evening.
Hi.
How you doing,
Eric?
Okay, how are you?
I just like to call up and tell the world that we just started using CAD computers in my class, the computer aided drawing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. CAD comms, right?
Yeah, in my design and drawing class. I hate it. I cannot get the damn thing to start.
Well, did you turn it on?
Well, we've been doing this for about 2 months now, and everybody in my class is 5 miles ahead of me.
Uh-huh.
And I'm still drawing borders.
Well, you know, everyone has to work at their own pace.
Well, my teacher doesn't understand. I try to explain that to him, and he's failing me.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Well, now, let me ask you a question. Are the grades kept in the same computer system?
Are the grades kept? Yes, as a matter of fact, they do. My friend Matt.
Well, then you have an option whether or not you realize it.
Yes, I realize that. But it's all hooked up to one central computer, so if you do hack in there...
Uh-huh.
It's back.
Uh-huh.
That's what my friend explained to me. It's not like that.
Well, you know, I don't know exactly what to say, but just, you know, be persistent and try to pick up as much as you can. And look, failure is not the end of the world. So you fail a course now and then. It's not the worst thing.
True.
Even I have failed courses in my time.
Oh.
Well, I did it intentionally, but still, I did it. I did it just to be cool, but that's not the point. I did it.
Ah.
That's what's important.
That's cool. What was this, every once in a while a person will call up and go, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo.
I don't know. Some moron out there that seems to think that they're the phone god or something, and they can make all kinds of strange noises. But we know better, don't we?
Yeah, but of course. All right, catch you later.
Thanks for calling. 632-6901. And I'm being handed a note that we don't have time for stupid questions this week because we have so many phone calls. Okay, well, that's just what we're going to have to do then. But keep the calls coming in because we do want to hear from you. We haven't heard from so many of you in so long. And there aren't any other call-in programs that that you guys can call. We know that. 632-6901. How is your summer going? Well, it hasn't really started yet, but today was a good preview, wasn't it? Good evening.
I was wondering, one thing about the... I'm really doing good today.
Oh, that's okay. I feel the same way. Where are you calling from?
Quorum.
Quorum, okay.
I took the ASVAB test for the military.
Uh-huh.
And I was wondering if you had any idea why the military, even though they're going to have all these cutbacks, is still so commercial about getting people. Because they don't stop calling me now.
Really?
Yeah, because...
Well, now, explain how you got in this situation.
I'm in 11th grade. I'm a junior in high school, and I took the ASVAB test. It's the military battery for.
Actually, I don't know what that is. What is that test?
It's an aptitude battery, so they can tell like how good you are in certain areas.
And what kind of questions do they ask?
The California Achievement Test almost.
Okay.
Then they have mechanics and electronics added onto that.
Okay.
That's like, you know, you have to know what a cylinder is in a car, and they ask you all these other electronic questions.
Now, why did you take this test?
I don't know. I was just interested. I want to see, you know, how good I am. And, like, I do a plan on going into the military, but, you know, I didn't expect this.
So what are they doing now? They just keep calling you?
Yes. They, you know, when you get to a certain grade, they'll take your scores, and they give them out to the respective military, you know, the branches. And they don't stop calling me now. It's pretty funny. And I can't figure out why, because, you know, now they're going to have all these cutbacks.
Uh-huh. Well, they're always going to want people.
Yeah.
I mean, that's something they're always going to want. But with regards to your situation now, is it the same people calling you? Are they different branches calling you? What?
Yeah, it's different branches. But then, you know, sometimes they'll call back, and a lot of them want to meet me, you know, at, you know, for the recruiters and stuff.
What kind of arguments do they use for you to meet them?
Some of them are like, don't look just into one, you know, one branch. Some of them will be a, you know, good career opportunity.
Uh-huh.
And it's all, you know, all different questions.
Uh-huh. But now, you seem to see the humor in this. It's not really upsetting you that they're doing this, right?
Oh, no, I just thought it was funny, but I was wondering if anybody else, you know, had any ideas of why, you know, they would keep doing that.
Well, I got lots of mail from the military when I was going through. Can you imagine me in the military? That would have been something. I mean, I think they realized that it wasn't a good, you know, pursuit for them, so they quit that.
Yeah.
But legally, if somebody is calling you and you tell them to stop and they keep it up, you can take all kinds of action against them.
Yeah,
so if it reaches that point.
I just thought, you know, I was just wondering, you know, why, you know, speaking of cutbacks and stuff, because they, you know, they're really having a lot about that now.
Uh-huh. Well,
they had it, too, a while ago.
Don't you think it's good, though, that we've reached the point where the military is cutting back?
Yeah, that's definitely.
I mean, when you consider how much has been spent on it, it's, I mean, look at what's happened in Bangladesh. It took us so long to get over there to help those people, and, you know, We could have done it so much quicker, I think, had we not been so, you know, quagmired in the war mentality.
Yeah.
How long does it take to fly people over with food? It takes one day. It took us something like 2 weeks to get all these people over there to help out. I mean, I'm glad we're there, but I think we could have saved a lot more lives if we had been there sooner. And, you know, that's if we really stand for peace and liberty and freedom and all that, this is really the kind of mission that we should be involved in a lot more than, you know, the kind of thing in Iraq.
Yeah, it's just peacekeeping, anti-communist, all that other
stuff.
I
don't know about anti-communist. I mean, that's kind of passé at the moment, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. They're all dying off.
So,
communism is fading out a little.
Well, let us know what happens in the future. I mean, you're in 11th grade now, so, I mean, obviously, what, they want you to drop out of school to join them?
No. You have to have a high school education.
Uh-huh.
And all of them are telling me they're, you know, good for college grants and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
Each one tells me that the other ones don't, you know, you have to have special requirements, but they all do anyway.
Uh-huh.
And,
well,
the Marines is, like, the only one that hasn't had any, you know, requirements, truly, is that they give you a certain amount of money. You know, you get paid, and then if you, you know, they have a thing where if you put away a certain amount, they'll match up to, like, $10,000 of that. You know, they'll give you $10,000 to, like, they double it up to a certain amount.
Well,
I think it's like $10,000 for college.
Don't go with anybody asking you if you speak Spanish, then, if you get $10,000, because they'll steal it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I heard about that. I was just listening to that.
Spanish lotto, beware. All right, listen, we wish you the best of luck. And tell
oh,
us
one
what,
more thing.
What happens,
about the EMF album. I got that over in, it's in Quorum over here, in a Blockbuster video. Not Blockbuster, what is it, like Breakthrough Video or something like that. It's in Plaza 99. They have a small radio place behind that.
Really?
And, you know, it's inside. You go inside, and there's a radio store in the back.
Uh-huh.
And if he doesn't have it, he can get it for you. The guy, you know, he'll order it. And I just got it, too. So
uh-huh.
I thought it was a good album.
Okay, there you go. For the person that called in with that bit of request there, we have an answer for you.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks for calling, and keep us updated.
Okay.
632-6901, area code 516. Good evening.
Hey, how you doing, Eric?
Okay.
Hey, I just wanted to call up and talk about the fire they had up in Huntington.
Yeah, in the Walt Whitman Mall. The fourth fire in that store?
Hey, I want to know if they're compensating the family of the people who died in there.
Well, I mean, I guess it's kind of early to ask questions like that, but it's pretty shocking. You live near there?
What? No, actually, I'm in Middle Island.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, I remember a couple of years ago, almost the exact same thing happened, and the whole mall was affected.
You figure they'd learn the first time, put some sprinklers in there.
Yeah, you know, I saw in the newspaper today that there were no sprinklers on the entire first floor, but there's no law that says there has to be sprinklers on the first floor. But does it have to be a law for every little thing for someone to do it?
Well, you know, they want to save some money there. They don't care. They figure it's not going to happen to them. They don't never get a fire like that, but...
Yeah, what's the odds of having four fires in one store, right?
Yeah. You figure they'd learn after the first three to put in some sprinklers in there or some shit, you know?
Yeah, well, it's all a question of budgets and economics and that kind of thing.
Well, until somebody from their family or something gets caught in a fire in the store, then maybe they might do something, but...
So what do you think should be done now?
Honestly, I think they better put some sprinklers in there once they get the place rebuilt.
Uh-huh.
And they better start compensating the family.
Yeah.
How would you like it if one of your family got caught in that fire and died, and they're not paying you nothing, and it's their fault, because after four fires, they still didn't put no sprinklers in there that might have saved their lives? You would have put it right out.
That's something that's got to be addressed. Let's hope it is. Put some pressure on your elected officials, because they're the ones that can make it happen.
Right. Call Patrick Halpin or something like that.
Definitely.
Something about it. It's ridiculous.
Thanks for bringing it to everyone's attention.
All right.
Okay, 632-6901. Actually, we're going to have to race through these because we are running late. Good evening.
Hello.
How you doing?
Hi. Phone is so busy, it's so hard to reach you.
Yeah, it's hard to get through, I know. But now that you have gotten through, what's on your mind?
Well, first of all, I really like your show. And I really appreciate it, and I'm surprised that people don't take it so seriously.
Well, you know, I don't think that's necessarily true. I think a lot of people take it seriously, but they're kind of shy, you know?
Well, I don't always speak their mind. I don't have much knowledge to give much comment, but I like to listen. And I've been listening to other radio stations, which is funded by people.
Other listener-supported stations.
Yes. And I hear some particular news, such as... some of these Iraqis that have been shot, they've been shot from the back. I don't know if that's true or not. I mean, I haven't had any other source that would confirm that.
Uh-huh. Well, that's something that certainly warrants an investigation, if nothing else.
Have you ever heard anything about it?
I've heard all kinds of reports, but those kind of reports I don't hear in the mainstream media, no. And, you know, I think I should, because if they are, you know, even if there are allegations that something like that happened, that in itself is news enough to warrant it being brought to people's attention.
No, as much as I really respect this kind of radio, any kind of radio station, they're trying to be so informative.
Uh-huh.
But to make such a statement, I think they needed to back it up, or at least we have something confirmed.
Well, let's hope we... let's hope we hear more about that. I mean, keep asking questions and call the radio station where you heard it and say, what do you have on this? Tell me more.
Well,
that's what they're there for.
In WBAI.
Okay.
And unfortunately, the person who talks about it, I can't exactly pronounce his name. He's Oriental.
Uh-huh.
I real respect. I found him very intelligent. And
Is this Dr. Michio Kaku?
Yes.
Ah, yes.
He made this comment, and he repeated it a couple of times.
Uh-huh.
And,
I would write to him at the station, because he usually doesn't shoot from the hip, you know. In the time I've known him, he knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, that's why I was wondering if he ever heard anything about it.
I haven't, but, I'll check it out myself. All right, thanks for calling. We're out of time, and thanks everybody else for calling in. Now... we have not yet forgotten that person who called in with a request to Susie and the Banshees records. Okay, here we are. We've got a pile of all these records here. Listen to this. That's an incredible pile there. Susie and the Banshees. Once Upon a Time, the Singles is the name of that record. And we also have... what's this? A 12-inch single, Cities in Dust. I've got a Susie's and the Banshees record here, Dear Prudence, which is a Beatles song, isn't it? Okay, Susie and the Banshees, I can't pronounce that word. What is that? Peep Show. Okay, I didn't see the second A. Peep Show. Then we've got something called Dazzle, which is a single, 12-inch single. Then we've got Tinderbox. Hope you're writing this down. Let's see. This is also it's a limited edition. Juju. Okay. This is a 12-inch single. Wheels of Fire. Wheels on Fire. Arabian Nights, a 12-inch EP. Another 12-inch EP is Slow Dive. I have a lot of 12-inch EPs here. Here's another one. I can't read that. What's it say? Melt. All right. I have lousy handwriting, too. Cities in Dust. This is a specially priced maxi single. let's see. Another specially priced maxi single, Song from the Edge of the World. Why is it, all these seem to be upside down? Cincy and the Banshees. This is a lot of fun. I got to thank the person for giving me this way of entertaining myself. Hyena. And there's two more. The Scream, which appears to be an album. And the final maxi single is Peekaboo. So I hope that will satisfy you. Yes, we're WUSB, and we exist for this kind of thing. I want to thank everybody who participated tonight. Stay tuned for Cubret, no sound test. All kinds of neat sounds coming your way here on WUSB in Stony Brook. See you again next week. Good night. Thank you.